This is The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. On this show, we're going to speak to the independent creators who make the games that you and I love. I'm your host and the DM of Sounds Like Adventure, Jack Traynor. Hey there, it's another episode of The Table Business. Hey, it's me, Jack. Thanks for joining me once again. Awesome episode for you today. I'm joined by Craig, aka Craig of Inspiration on the internet. So Craig is an online content creator focused on helping new dungeon masters level up by sharing daily D&D tips, tricks, and more. And he has such a cool and interesting online offering. I'm so excited to chat with him today. In today's conversation, we discuss how Craig sort of got into this whole world, why he decided to go down this vein of helping DMs be better. And then Craig shares some hot tips and hot takes on some of the most controversial questions affecting DMs at the moment. Like, for example, how do you deal with a player who rolls up a character who seems like they don't want to go on the adventure? We break it down. All right, let's dive in. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So Craig, you're a DM who's all about helping new DMs get better. But before we dive into your whole online offering, tell us a bit about yourself to start with. Who's Craig?
So I originally am from Wisconsin, went to school out there, UW-Madison. I studied sociology and statistics. So many hobbies I've had in the past, I feel like just kind of generally correlate to being a dungeon master. I've like played in a band before. I did a lot of improv when I was younger. I moved out here out to California after college. And once I found tabletop games and D&D in particular, it just like kind of clicked. And I was like, more people need to know how easy and fun this can be.
Love that. So tell me a little bit about your tabletop origin story then. How did it all start? And set the scene. Take us all the way back. What did the day look like?
I'm a big Brandon Sanderson fan, and I listened to one of his podcasts, and he mentioned Critical Role was big, and I was like, well, if he likes it, maybe I should check it out. I was like, what the hell is this? This is what Dungeons & Dragons is? This is what all the hubbub has been about my whole life? I didn't even finish an episode. I told one of my friends about it, and he was like, oh yeah, we got a table. You should join us. 2 weeks later, I'm playing a game. 6 months later, I'm like, hey, can I run a one-shot for you guys? And then 6 months after that, I was like, I need to start a blog and to find a way to help more people because it's silly that more people aren't doing this.
That's a great segue as well. So yeah, your Instagram bio, it says you're helping new DMs level up by sharing daily D&D tips, tricks, and more. So why is this the specific angle that you decided that you were going to explore?
Two things. I didn't see a lot of like help for new DMs when I first was running sessions. And then I also didn't see people that looked like me in the space as well. So I just wanted to bring some more, be a person that anyone could see on their social media. I look like that guy. He's a nerd. I'm a nerd. Maybe I should try this thing.
And when you say people that look like me, what's that mean specifically?
I'm mixed. I'm part black. At the surface level, when I first got into it, it just seemed to be a lot of white dudes. No offense to anybody. I technically am a white dude, but like I'm also on the outside also, and like my sister, my family, you know, we're all mixed and are not a part of either group. And what's amazing about tabletop games is it's a whole new group that everybody is a part of. There are jocks, there are nerds, like it doesn't matter where you come from, what color skin you are, how you dress, like just it doesn't matter. If you're a human and we're all humans, you belong.
And then the journey up until now, how has it been? Everyone sort of enters the whole content creation journey with like different preconceived notions and different ideas about how it's going to play out for them. When you look back at how things were when you sort of your initial start to where you are now, how different are things?
I don't think like my goals have changed. However, the way I'm delivering the information has changed a bit. I first started out kind of focusing on the blog, and now I focus more on the videos and things like that because I noticed that I can get more eyes on them. However, I have now, I'm now on platforms that I didn't think I was going to be on. I didn't think I was going to do TikTok. I didn't think I was going to, like, I always just like, I'll do Instagram and my blog and we'll see what happens. And now I'm also on Mastodon. I'm also on Threads. YouTube Shorts has been doing okay. So it's just like trying to get as many eyes out there, you know, seeing it as possible, because the more people need to know how easy it is and how fun it can be.
And how easy is it? You've said this a few times now, but for anyone who's out there who hasn't made the plunge yet, I'm a huge proponent of just doing it. I actually DM'd my first ever game of D&D. Let's get the pitch now. Why is it so easy, and why should more people do it?
It's easy because it's free. Right now, you can go and get the official rules. You can get official adventures. You can get free adventures there. You can use Google to roll dice for you. You can go, you and your friends can go on a walk in the woods with one cell phone and play Dungeons and Dragons. Like, there's, you don't need anything. It's as simple as you and your companions are walking through the woods and one of you sees a pair of green pointy ears poking out through one of the bushes 30 feet to your right. What would you like to do? We just played D&D.
Let's go. It's good. I've got so many ideas of what I want to do next. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this as well, of just like rolling the dice, literally getting in there, giving it a go. Tell me about the first time that you pulled the trigger on DMing.
I saw that the Fizban's Treasury of Dragons book was coming out, and I was like, a whole book about dragons? Yes, please. Took a look at that. I was like, hey guys, you want to do a one shot? I want to run some of these monsters. This sounds cool. They were like, yeah. So we did as my first time dungeon mastering, I did a level 11 one shot that turned into a two shot, which was super fun. I learned a lot, like instantly, just those first two sessions. I learned so much of what to do, what not to do. And instantly it was like, I need more.
And that was it? It was like the rest is history from that point?
So I'm still with that group. We kind of like evolved a couple of times since then, and someone else is running games for us. Now we're like taking turns running stuff. But I have another group that I run for, and we're like level 9 into a campaign, like 27 sessions or so. And that's been going on over a year now. Then I have another campaign where there's like a co-work space / like a lounge. I forget what the actual name of it is. But once a month, I like run a game for them. Whoever shows up. One time it was 14 players. Another time it was 3. Both times were super fun. And
sorry, hold on. Let's pump the brakes for a second. Did you say you just run a session for 14 players?
Yeah, I ran Wild Sheep Chase. It's a pretty popular, it's like a 5th level adventure. I switched it up for 1st level characters. So I divided the group in my head and was like, okay, there's these people. And then just kind of like, all right, what do you want to do? I like made it simple. Okay, they're talking to this guy. They're going to get chased to a place, and then there's going to be a fight. Nice and simple, 3 scenes. That's it. Break it down to the most bare bones. And then I also made sure to like tie certain things to not necessarily a specific character, because I didn't know who was going to show up or anything, or like what characters were going to be chosen. But like, I knew that whoever the wizard was going to be is who the first person is going to get talked to. Like, I know that the rogue is going to be interested in picking a lock in a treasure chest. Like, I know the barbarian is going to want a big beefy boy to beat up on. So just including a couple of those things was really easy to like get people interested and invested. And then just also like getting crosstalk between everybody and getting them to all say a bunch of dumb ideas and get the NPC that was with them to do something. Letting the NPC point them in a direction, but let them figure out how to get there.
Okay, so now let's dive into some DM, GM tips from you to the folks listening. So I've taken a look online and found some of the most common DM-related questions that are going on at the moment, different topics, and I'm going to get your take on them. So the first one. Imagine I'm a new DM and I have new players who have never RP'd before. Trying to bring them out of their shell. What's a tip to get people out of their shell who have never RP'd before for a DM?
Ask questions all the time. Just ask them a bunch of questions. Even before this, every session, I have a D100 list of questions. I roll on it every session. At the beginning of the session, I say, what's your favorite food? Where'd you get that scar? Who taught you the skills that you know? Just a bunch of questions like that to get them talking and thinking about their character. And then even during the session, what do your clothes look like? What's for sale at the shop? What smells are you? You're in the apothecary. What do you smell? What does the jar look like? Maybe they name an NPC. Like, it's getting them to realize that what they're doing at the table is role playing. Getting them to be in the first person rather than the third person. Like, third person is fine. It's okay. I go back and forth. I don't do voices. I go in between voices in the middle of sentences sometimes. Like, it doesn't really matter. But getting the players to role play, I think, is in getting them to talk. And to get them to talk, you got to ask questions.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because I think a lot of people, when they hear RP, they hear role play, they think, you know, Critical Role, Dimension 20, big voices, big characters. But you're saying that role play can take on different forms than that and just be sort of like the correct thought process almost around characters.
Yeah, because like I love Critical Role. I love Dimension 20. I make so many funny voices at my cat and my dog, but at the table, I can't do it sometimes because whatever's going on, because I am thinking weird or I'm nervous or a bunch of 10 other things are going on because I'm running D&D.
So next one, true or false, a DM PC is always a bad idea.
I want to say true because like the definition that I have of DM PC is a character in the party that's being controlled by the dungeon master. I don't think that's a good idea. I always have NPCs traveling with them. Not always, but like half the time. They're there as support. They're there to chime in with a stupid idea or to like kick a rock, move the story forward, make a quick joke. They're not there to solve the puzzle or find the MacGuffin or defeat the bad guy. They're there to, you know, move the story forward a little bit if the characters are having trouble, or have a sounding board when the characters are trying to figure something out and talking. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, definitely. I love it. I'm a big proponent of like the roving NPC guide, like the story assistant in some ways, the chief complication giver. I'm big on that as well. I'd be in full agreement, but this is a safe space and there's no rebuttal. Even if I disagreed, I'd keep it to myself. So last one, huge one. This one I see discussed all the time at the moment. So this one is basically, there's this big conversation at the moment about players who make characters that don't seem to want to be in the party, on the adventure, all these types of things. Why would my character do this? They want to go back and farm still or something like that. And there's a mix of responses to this. I see people saying it's the player's fault for making a bad character. It's the DM's fault for not bringing that player into the mix. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I like to have a discussion before a campaign starts with everybody about characters and stuff like that. Not like what character are you going to play, but like here's some guidelines. Like if you have a character that doesn't want to be in the group, make a different character. You are totally in control of what that character wants and stuff like that, so make a character that wants to be with the group. You can still make a loner character, but maybe their motivation is, well, this goal that I need, that I want to fulfill, I need these dum-dums to help me. So I got to stick with them and I got to help them out so that they help me and then I can leave. There are ways around it. Like I understand that everybody wants to be cool striker in the corner of the bar, but like we're here to play a game together. Let's do it together. It's way more fun that way.
Yeah, I think there's a big one of like, if you can't answer the question of I need to go on this adventure because, if you get to the end of because and you don't have anything, the character probably needs a little bit more work at that stage. Just connect in.
Totally. And like, if you want to do a farmer that like doesn't know why he's adventuring, that's not going to last long. He's got to find something. Like the big bad guy is going to threaten his town.
Let's touch on that actually, because what you've touched on there is stakes, story stakes, basically. You create stakes for the characters. So whose responsibility is that, do you think? Is that the DM's responsibility?
It's both. It's everybody at the table, because the part of it is on the DM that is providing the plot. And then it's also on the players to like take the bait, find a way to work it into their character motivation and keep going.
I think that's a great point. Because yeah, for me, with players and with just storytelling in general, if there's a character in a story who is like too associated with one thing, I got to get back to the farm. I'm one day away from retirement. All these types of things. That thing is about to be yanked away from that character in nearly every single story. So if you're telling me I don't want to go on this adventure because I got to go back to the farm, well, when we return to the farm, you're going to find it on fire with the big, bad, evil guy standing next to it being like, ha ha, look what I did. And then all of a sudden, okay, now I have a reason to be involved in this adventure.
And I love that. That's a great story.
Yeah, it's easy. It's simple. It's stakes. And it's consequences. Take what the players give you and then just interpret it. So to wrap things up, I have a couple of recurring questions that I always ask. So let's go into those now. So question one, what's one thing that people don't realize about independent tabletop content creators like yourself?
Just like with any social media, you are most likely seeing the best part. You know, it's always like you're like, you know, somebody's social media, you're seeing their highlights. You know, don't compare highlights, like somebody's highlights to your everyday and stuff like that. So I make mistakes just like everybody else.
Second question, what was your first ever character in a tabletop game?
Kiefer Sparkrest. He is a high elf celestial warlock. It was a homebrew world, but it was essentially the Sword Coast. I was originally from Evermeet, but my family didn't understand the powers I was getting, so I ran away to the mainland, had a bad time of it for a while until I met my party, and they saved me, and I was like, I guess I'm going to protect you guys for a while. Kiefer Sparkrest was really fun, like playing a warlock and a celestial warlock at that. Like, I didn't even know who my patron was for a while. It was so cool. It turned out to be a solar. Oh, it was like, my DM did like a really good job.
When you look back to your time spent around the table over the years, do you have a favorite story? It could be a funny story. It could be a great friend moment. It could really be anything.
I'd like to say two things. A really funny quote from a couple months ago was, I am not strapping explosives to my back. However, I am constantly amazed at the creative things my players come up with. And I want to keep it that way. When I'm a dungeon master, I like to come up with problems, not solutions, because they're three people. They can outthink me. Like, I don't need to have a one specific solution. If they come up with something, well, I think of possible solutions. I'll think of like, okay, what do I think they're going to do? What's the opposite of that? And what's in between those? And I kind of plan for those, but I am totally open for anything to happen at any time.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch, if they want to find more?
Yeah, totally. So you can find me as Craig of Inspiration on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Mastodon, even Tumblr and YouTube. And you can find my blog at pointsofinspiration.com.
Craig, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. If you'd like to know more about anything we spoke about today, all the links for all the people that we spoke to are available in the show notes. Or head over to soundslike_pod on Instagram, and we'll definitely be talking about them there. And if you liked what you heard, why not check out Sounds Like Adventure? That's our main show. It's an actual play podcast with fun roleplay, short run times, and great sound design. But to make sure you don't miss the next episode of The Table Business, make sure you subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And a 5-star review really, really helps to get a few more people to see the show. And we hear it, Sounds Like Adventure. We would be so grateful if you took the time to do that. All right. With all that in mind, we'll catch you for the next episode of The Table Business.